Many mixed martial artists claim they experience something like bliss at the moment they lose consciousness from a choke. One practitioner says she once saw shapes like mountains moving and pulsating with pink light as she was passing out. Another says he was flying through the woods like a bird. Still a third, a great noise was inside my head, a great vibration. My whole body was moving in time with the vibration. There were sparks and colors everywhere, and the vibration seemed to open a huge hole in the earth. These descriptions of bliss may read like pure poetry, but they will sound familiar to scientists who study near-death experiences. A 1982 Gallup poll found that 32% of NDE survivors reported feelings of peace and painlessness while hovering between this world and the next. Out-of-body experiences are common as well. Doctors have numerous theories to explain these phenomena, but that's all they are. Some point out that oxygen depletion in the brain can cause hallucinations. Others propose that a sense of spatial disorientation is caused by damage to the brain's temporoparietal junction, which is responsible for assembling data sent by the senses and organs into a coherent perception of one's body. Neuropsychologist David Carr believes the counterintuitive feelings of peace, pleasure, and calm some experience at the moment of death might be caused by morphine-like chemicals such as endorphins and enkephalins that are secreted by the brain when it's being depleted of oxygen. Others argue that the opioids triggered by the brain during a near-death experience are the same as those triggered in animals when they're under attack. It's as if the body, acknowledging just how difficult life is, generously provides us chemical relief at its end. Seeking a less scientific explanation for the mysteries of the world, Tibetan Buddhists, death obsessives who are taught to meditate on the subject morning, noon, and night, speak of the bardo, an intermediate realm between this life and the next, between states of consciousness. Skilled meditators experiencing the Shikai Bardo, or Bardo of the Moment of Death, come face to face with the clear light of reality as they slip out of life and into death, and then into their next rebirth. But even for the most enlightened and dedicated masters, this luminosity only lasts a moment, like a grappler choked into unconsciousness. The light is just a glimmer of something in the corner of your eye. My first real brush with death comes not long after I make the decision to fight. The perfect initiation into my fraught new reality. This lesson is delivered one cold January evening by a mixed martial arts coach named Jake, a New York City native and longtime professional fighter. During a long and bruising sparring session, Jake sweeps my feet out from under me and tosses me to the ground, crawls onto my back, and catches me in a rear naked choke. The rear naked choke is among the first things you learn in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. The aggressor shoots one arm under the chin of his opponent from behind, brings his forearm back up against the side of the neck, and grabs onto his own shoulder. His free arm then presses down on the neck from behind the head, creating a vise, squeezing his opponent into unconsciousness. In response to being caught in this vise, I flail around and struggle to loosen Jake's grip around my neck like I was taught, to peel his feet from the inside of my thighs to get some space, to turn on my side to relieve the pressure and pop my hips out. But it's no use. Escaping a rear naked choke is hard enough in the best circumstances. When the person applying the choke is a lifelong professional fighter and you're just an aging hopeful in the throes of a delusion, escape is a fantasy. There are two kinds of chokes in MMA, the blood choke, which impedes blood flow from the heart to the brain, and the asphyxia choke, which obstructs airflow, usually by compression of the windpipe. The rear naked choke is a blood choke. At first, it causes compression of the external jugular vein, which runs down the side of the neck, hindering the flow of blood from the head to the heart. Eventually, the pressure narrows the carotid artery, which is the primary source of blood, back to the brain. If the choke is applied low enough on the neck, the vertebral arteries, which run alongside the cervical spine in the back of the neck, are also compressed, causing cerebral hypoxia, deprivation of oxygen to the brain.